Hello, it's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sodine, and welcome to another episode of Sodine's Soapbox. Yes, here on Sodine's Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it. Well, welcome. If this is your first time tuning into Sodine's Soapbox, I welcome you. We are a family here. And if you are a consistent listener, welcome back. Welcome back. I want you to kick off your shoes, relax your feet, and enjoy yourself here. Pull up a chair, pull up a pillow, get comfortable while we just have some time together and chat on today's episode. Now, I know I've been a bit MIA, but if you've been following my social media, then you would know why your girl's been kind of in the wind lately. And if you're not following my social media, then what's going on? What is going on? So you already know what you have to do. Please, please, please follow your girl on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. Come chat with me. Come talk to me on my socials. I make sure to keep you guys up to date on what's going on with me. If there's a delay in the upcoming episode, if there won't be an episode this week, or whatever the case may be, all of the news will be on my socials. So make sure you're tuned in and plugged into my socials so you know what's going on. So obviously, specifically, if you were on my Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, then you know that I was supposed to put out an episode, but because if you are tapped into the Korean news or basically world news, you'll know that unfortunately there was a really unfortunate incident that happened here in Itaewon on Halloween. And so because the president decided to have a nationwide mourning for the entire week, I just didn't feel it would be appropriate to put out any type of content while the country was in mourning, essentially. So I wanted to be respectful and honor the family and honor those who were either at Itaewon and experienced the craziness that happened, or those who unfortunately lost their lives that day. So that's why, like I said, I wanted to be respectful and not think of myself by putting out an episode. I didn't think it was appropriate, essentially. And that whole incident in itself was crazy. And I'll get into that later, because for today's episode, I don't really have a specific topic I want to talk about. I kind of just want to play catch up, essentially, and just talk about what's been going on with me these past, I think basically almost this past month or past couple of weeks since my last episode. Just play some catch up, let you guys know what's been going on with me, where my mind is at, because honestly, there's a lot going on in the world right now. So I feel like today is just a chill episode. We're just going to kind of reflect and talk about some things, what's been going on in the world. I am going to do a lot of ranting as per usual, but today's episode is going to be a little bit more just of me on my spiel, more so than having a specific topic in mind. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. So there's not going to be a Sodine's life update, because this whole episode is basically going to be a life update, if you will. So let's just jump right into it. So first and foremost, my last episode, if you got a chance to listen to it, was supposed to be a love letter that I wrote to Drake, because me and my sister, who was also a guest on the show, and she did an amazing job. I definitely want to take the time and thank my sister for coming onto the show. And me and her talk all the time, but I really just want to thank her for giving me her time to just be on the show, because she didn't have to. She really didn't have to, but I really appreciated that she and I could have our witty banter and fangirl and do what we do over Drake. But with recent news and recent incidents, I feel away. I'm not even gonna hold you. I feel away. Because after raving about how Drake was one of my favorite rappers and why I appreciated him and why, you know, he's somebody that I respected in the music industry, I feel some type of way. I legitimately feel some type of way. Because if you don't know, Drake and 21 Savage recently dropped an album, and there's been some, I don't know, just some shadiness surrounding the album. From there's bars in there where he's being shady towards Meg Thee Stallion. And I don't like that at all, because I feel like everybody got something to say about Meg. Meg literally minds her business. It's almost like Lizzo. They literally mind their business, trying to make the money, try to empower women, empower, you know, people to stand up, make their voices heard, be who they are, feel comfortable in their skin. And there's always somebody's, you know, bald cul-de-sac head looking who got something to say. Like, why? Just why? And so the fact that, you know, Drake would make some comment about the whole her and Tory Lanez situation. And I know there's some people saying like, oh, that's not what the line was about. It's about some girl who lied about getting a BBL. But that's, no. I read the lyrics. I didn't listen to the song. I read the lyrics. And it was very clear who he was trying to shade. And I don't like that. And then to turn around and shade Serena Williams? Serena, who literally, like, at the top of her game, decided that she was going to take a step back so she could be close to her family and be there for her family. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to be very, very, like, transparent and raw. But my nigga, you was her, like, her intern, my guy. You was her whole intern. You want to talk about her husband being a groupie? You was her whole intern, my guy. Like, cut the crap. Like, be for real. You was her whole intern, if you want to call her husband a groupie. Like, bruh, miss me with that. So that really just, Twitter does what Twitter does best. And here came all the receipts of, like, times, like, Drake's been problematic and Drake. And I mean, for me, I've never been somebody that, like, if you come to me with, like, legit receipts about why an artist is problematic or why anybody's problematic, I'm never gonna be like, oh no, you just a hater. You just, like, I'm gonna 100% listen to you. Which is why, like, I find it funny, like, people, like, when I tell people, like, I don't support Robert Kelly, and they're like, oh, I can separate the man from the music. I'm like, you do realize, like, life imitates art. His real life is reflected in his music. So you can't separate the man from the music, but I digress. But if someone comes to me with legitimate receipts and legitimate, like, concerns and evidence as to why said person is problematic and has issues, I'm going to listen. And I can always be like, you know what? You've presented me with new evidence that I didn't have before. And now I'm going to reconsider my thoughts and reconsider my original thinking. And so, you know, seeing all the receipts and seeing how Drake's behavior has been, it seems problematic for quite some time, I'm like, okay, like, I need to reevaluate. I need to, like, recalibrate my thoughts on this man. Now, my sister just recently bought me for my birthday an OVO hoodie, because that's something I've always wanted. Like I said in the Drake episode, like, I'm October's very own because I was born in October, and I'm going to rock the hoodie. Like, I'm going to be 100% transparent, but not because it's any association to Drake, but just because I'm an October baby and I rep October and I'm a Scorpio. So there's that. But I am going to reevaluate my position when it comes to Drake and his music and how he reacts to certain artists and reacts to especially women, because it's like, you'll praise women but then you'll tear them down in the same thing. And I'm a big Meg Thee Stallion advocate. I'm a hottie, You know what I mean? Like, and it's not even just because it's Meg Thee Stallion, but like, I'm someone who I stand by and I say that I believe Black women, period. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I believe Black women. And I'd rather believe Black women and then find out later that, like, oh, they lied in this, that, and the third, than not believe them at all and find out, like, I look stupid. Because I know there's some people who say, like, oh, she lied and this, that, and the third. Well, I'd rather stand by her and then find out she lied and be like, okay, well, then that's on her. That's cake on her. And I'm not using Meg specifically, but I'm just saying in general. Like, I'd rather stand by a Black woman and say, I believe you. And then if it comes out that she lied and this, that, and the third, that's egg on her face. That's, you know what I mean? That's not on me. Because, again, I believe Black women. In a world that don't believe us, in a world that silences our voice, in a world that fetishizes us, in a world that calls us fast when we're little girls, in a world that, you know, just doesn't even give us a chance to be feminine and be soft and be all of the things that other races of women get to be, I'm gonna believe Black women 100%. If you tell me the first time something's an issue and a problem, I believe you the first time. And maybe that makes me dumb and maybe that makes me naive, but in a world that already shuts our voices and makes us tries to make us feel inferior and like imposters when we step into a room, guess what? I'm going to believe us first. So I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So I wanted to address the situation and I wanted to apologize to Meg. I mean, I don't think that Meg Thee Stallion would ever listen to my podcast and to this episode, but I feel personally embarrassed that, you know, I really just went all in and went ham in that episode. And then only for literally like the following week for all of, you know, a lack of better words, for the shit to hit the fan. So I really just wanted to address that situation because it was just like, bruh, you can't even vouch for niggas without them embarrassing you. It's just like a nigga to embarrass you once you, you know, you speak good for them. It's like, bruh, how you making me look bad when I try to put you on? I mean, not literally put you on, but like, I speak good of you. I talked well of you. And then you turn around and like, now I look stupid. So I just wanted to address that. But then obviously, like, within the same breath right after that, obviously, like I said, my birthday came around and I already told y'all in the previous episodes and multiple episodes that I just wasn't feeling it. 35 to me, and this is just for me because not everybody feels this way. Some people are like, oh, it's just 35. 35 is not a big deal. I felt more like, I don't know, the epiphany when I hit 30. 30 for me, I didn't feel nothing because I was depressed at 30. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I don't think the quarter life crisis that I felt didn't hit me at 30 because I was depressed. And you know what's funny? I was in the most amazing city ever. I was in Paris celebrating my birthday and your girl was depressed. That just goes to show, don't believe what you see. Because you might see somebody living their best life. And sometimes they could be in the worst place mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm telling you right now, my 30th birthday, I spent it in Paris. On my birthday, my godmother / aunt, she took me to the Eiffel Tower. She took me to see the Arc de Triomphe. I did all of that, and I'm telling y'all right now, your girl was depressed. I was putting on a front, smiling, but I was depressed, and it was just something to take my mind off of it, but in reality, like, I didn't care about none of it. So the quarter life crisis didn't hit me when I turned 30 because I was focused on other things, just trying to get by. Like, even my sister and I were reflecting on that time together and how we just had like this horrible call center job and just every day we had to drag our feet to go to that job, just every single day. And it's funny that she and I talked about the difference in our personality because me, I'm kind of in that go mode. Like, I'm in that survival mode. Like, all right, I know I hate this job, but I need the money, so I'm just gonna put up with it, essentially. Whereas my sister's the one that she'll drag her feet through it. So every day we had to go to work together, I'm like, all right, come on, let's go. And she would be like, I don't want to go. Can't we just quit? And so it was like a tug of war, a push and pull just to go to work every day. So again, the quarter life crisis didn't hit me then because of different circumstances. But this past October, that was just where my mind was at, where I was just comparing myself to other people and feeling like I didn't achieve certain things in my life that I should have achieved by this point. Because, you know, society tells you by a certain age, you should have a house and you should have kids and you should be married and you should have this much money in your bank account. But like, who really determines all that? Like, who made the rule book? I want to talk to them. Who made the rule books? Some old wahite that really don't matter, who's out of touch? Like, please, who made the rule books? Who determined that by 35 I'm supposed to have this all figured out, that I'm supposed to somehow figure out? Y'all didn't even teach me how to do taxes in high school. To this day, I still have not used the Pythagorean theorem. So how was I supposed to have my whole entire life together by 35? Like, miss me with that. Y'all was teaching me invisible numbers. Guess what? They're invisible. They don't matter. Like, I'm dealing with visible bills. Y'all teaching us invisible numbers? I'm dealing with visible bills. Like, these are not the same things. So I don't know who made these rules that like turning 30 is the most depressing thing, or that by 35 we're supposed to have met certain goals and aspirations. Because how many people have we seen in late in life, you know, start to make it? Like, we're seeing more and more people who are in their later years start to achieve all the things that supposedly they should have achieved in their 20s and 30s. So I think I just had that moment where I had allowed myself to believe that, oh, I should have achieved these things by 35. And eventually, like, I pulled myself out of it. I just had to go into my quiet space. And again, I'm going to remind y'all regularly, this is a perspective of a Christian. If you believe in something else, then use it from your perspective. I'm just speaking from a Christian mindset and a Christian perspective. But like, I just had to get into my quiet space and just spend time with God and just figure out, like, okay, what is this season for me? What do you want from me in this season? And then once I kind of started directing, instead of going into this woe is me type of situation, and started figuring out, like, okay, let me shift my perspective from a higher ground perspective, from an aerial perspective. That's the word I'm looking for. So I started looking at it from an aerial perspective. That's when I realized, like, I've come a long way. I've been through a lot and I've come a long way. And I might not be where I thought I would be at this point or where I'd like to be, but I'm daggone sure not where I used to be. I've made it out of a lot of situations that, if I'm being honest, at the time that I was in them, I had no idea how I was going to get out of them. When I was deep in the trenches, I was like, ain't no way I'm going to get out of this. I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. And yet, by grace, faith, and mercy, I got out of it and I made it out unscathed. Like, so I had to really just shift my perspective and realize, okay, yeah, girl, you don't have the career that you wanted yet. You don't have the finances that you were hoping for yet. You don't have the husband that you were hoping for yet. You don't have the kids you desired yet. But you're in a whole lot better place than you used to be. Like, just an example, I never imagined that I would wake up and not hate my job. Like, I really want that to sink in for y'all. I, up until maybe 32, because I've been here for 3 years, so 32, and I've been working since I was 16. I've been working since I was 16. And from the time I was 16 to the time I was 32, there has not been a point that I woke up and said, I hate this job. And I didn't want to go to work. And I dragged my feet to go to work. The past 3 years has been the first time that I'm like, it's time to go. Like, I may complain that I didn't get enough sleep. That's, you know, that's a completely different complaint. It's just like, man, I'm sleepy. Like, I wish I got enough sleep. But that's just a me problem. Like, I'm a night owl. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? That's just that. But outside of me saying like, oh, I wish I had enough sleep, I don't wake up saying, I don't want to go to work. I hate my job. That in and of itself means I've come a long way. And it can only get better from there. And most people don't get that until they work for themselves. And even working for yourself is 10 times more work than working up under somebody. But I'm literally right now in the season where I wake up and I don't complain about going to work. And that's the thing. Most of us are so used to complaining about something. And I'm actually trying to get to the place where I don't complain about things. And I know that sounds strange because, again, complaining about things seems normal. But I heard a pastor say, you can't complain and be grateful at the same time. You can't complain and give thanks in the same breath is basically what he was saying. You either do one or the other. And so I'm trying to get to a place where I stop complaining about things. And I just be grateful for things. Again, easier said than done, but I realized that we're used to complaining about things. Like, for example, your girl is flat-footed. Call me a platypus, flatypus, okay? I complain about my foot all the time. But then I realize, you know, hey, there are people who have worse situations than you. You know what I mean? Like, so I have to be grateful. Like, at least I have my 2 feet. At least, you know, I have my 10 toes. And again, this may sound very trivial, very menial. But again, sometimes complaining is just so ingrained in us that it's normal that our own mouths stop our blessings and stop and create an atmosphere of complaining around us because we complain about the most simplest things because the simplest things become bigger things. And the next thing we know, we're like, why is everything around me chaos? And it all starts from the same way we need a mustard seed of faith. It's the same way. All you need is a mustard seed of complaining to birth a mountain of chaos. You need a mustard seed of faith to move a whole mountain. So I don't know. That just came out of nowhere, but it makes sense to me anyway. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all, but it makes sense to me. So I think with like my birthday, that was just something that with the month of October leading up to it, I was kind of thinking about it. So for my birthday, I think I mentioned it in the last episode, I don't know if I did, I ended up making myself a cute little charcuterie board. It was my first one. And so I was trying to be real bougie. Because one thing about your girl, she loves being bougie. I'm a little bit ghetto. I'm a little bit bougie. So I call myself bougetto. And so it was real nice. It was real nice. I had me a picnic blanket. I laid it out. Had me some Moscato and my charcuterie board. And I watched all my favorite movies. Like, I really just took my birthday as a time to celebrate me and celebrate my life and enjoy all the things that I've learned and how far I've come in life and not complain about, again, the things I don't have and understand that those things will come when it's time, when the season is supposed to come for me to have all of those things, they'll come. But until then, I'm gonna just enjoy myself. I will say though, because, you know, Thanksgiving is around the corner. And we're just chatting here. So this is all just kind of like my thinking and my thoughts. I don't think I want to do Thanksgiving this year. And I say that because, like, even though I don't have family around, I still normally cook myself Thanksgiving dinner because I love Thanksgiving. Your girl loves food. We a fatty. So I still normally make myself Thanksgiving dinner, even though Korea don't got no turkey. Like, turkey is hard to come by here. Like, I think, like, maybe Costco, and there's a store here called like Lotte. They have them, but the turkey be expensive as hell, and I refuse. I absolutely refuse. So I never do turkey. Just give me chicken. Like, I'm good. So I don't remember the last time I had turkey, but normally I cook myself and I'll make like a lobster mac and cheese. I'll make myself a sweet potato casserole. I'll make myself, like I said, the chicken. And then I'll, you know, do a bunch of other stuff. And I end up making like a lot of food. And it's usually just me that makes them. Like, it's usually just me that cooks it. And then I'm usually the only one that ends up eating it. Now, there was one year particularly that I did have some people over. But yeah, that was an interesting situation. Like, they came over to eat, but I don't know. It just wasn't what I thought it would be. So because I just miss my family a lot, I don't feel like having Thanksgiving this year. I feel like skipping it and just going straight to Christmas and just kind of tapping into the Christmas cheer to like kind of boost the, what is it? Serotonin? Is that the feel good hormones? Because if I'm being honest, this time of the year is when I miss my family and I miss my friends. Like, once we start going from October to January, that's when like I miss my family and my friends back home, because it's my birthday and then it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I'm usually good the rest of the year, but like once we hit that little pocket of like all the holidays, it's when I'm reminded that like I'm by myself. And I think that's just the hardest part of like when you live abroad. And I already knew that was going to be a thing that I would have to face. But I think like as the years have kind of like rolled on, I realized just like how alone I am when the seasons come. Especially like here in Korea, Christmas isn't a family thing. Christmas is for couples. And that pisses me the hell off. Like, I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. That pisses me the hell off. Y'all take the best holiday in the world and y'all just have to make it about couples. Why? Why? Just why? So it's not even because, like, I ask my students all the time, like, oh, what'd y'all get for Christmas? And they're like, oh, we don't get Christmas gifts. And I'm like, what you mean? They're like, oh, our parents say, like, we're too old for Christmas gifts. Mind you, they're like middle school and high school. And at my big age, my mom still gives me Christmas gifts. Like, you know what I mean? And I get that's not everybody. And that's not, for some people, like, they're not blessed with that. But like, to hear my middle schoolers and high schoolers say like, oh, they're too old to get Christmas gifts. But to see all these couples, and I'm like, this just makes me sick, bruh. This makes me sick. I'll never forget my first year coming to Korea and being a teacher. And I was asking like what they do for Christmas, like even the teachers, and they're like, oh, we don't really do anything for Christmas. And I was like, what you mean? And they're like, we don't really do anything. Like, we don't exchange gifts. Like, that's not really a thing. So like, I, being the person that I am, like, I went all out and like bought gifts for certain people and like things like that. And they're like, wow, you're our school Santa Claus. And I was like, okay. I didn't do it the second year, and I probably won't do it this year either, because like that don't hurt my pockets. And while Christmas isn't about receiving gifts as much as it is giving, like, I realized like I was shelling out all them gifts, but like simultaneously none of them were thinking about giving me a gift like in reciprocity. Like the following year, I remember like, let's see if I never gave someone a gift, like what would happen. And of course I didn't get no gifts. like, especially to the teachers that I gave gifts with the previous year, like, I didn't get anything. And so I was like, I'm not gonna put as much effort as I did the year before, because it was more like me setting boundaries, not necessarily like, oh, you didn't give me a gift, so I'm not giving you a gift. It was just more like, you know what, I'm not gonna wall out like I did the first year. I think I just really wanted to make a like good impression, but also like I love Christmas, like I love giving gifts to people, that's just my nature. But I think I had to just redirect like who I need to give gifts to, like, so that's just basically that. But yeah, I think I'm gonna be skipping Thanksgiving and decorating my apartment for Christmas and getting myself in the holiday spirit, because I just miss my family. I am planning to go home, hopefully sometime in January, if all things go well. But I just, yeah, I miss my family. So I really don't feel like celebrating Thanksgiving. But anyways, enough of the depressing stuff. What I really want to end this episode on is today. Today, I took myself on a date and I had a great time. I mean, I always have a great time when I take myself on a date. I'm honestly the best date. But yeah, I took myself on a date to see the new Black Panther. And y'all, now I will say there's not going to be any spoilers. So I don't want anybody who hasn't seen it to be like, you're going to spoil it. There's no spoilers. So no spoilers here. But yeah, I took myself to Outback and I was surprised because, you know, it's Korea. But the Outback Steakhouse here in Korea wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. They don't have the, what is it? The little onion flower petal thing. I haven't been to Outback in so long that I don't even know what it's called. But if you go to Outback consistently, you know, it's the, dang, I have no idea what it's called. Anyways, but it's basically like the fried onion petals. I don't know. But I noticed that they don't have that at the menu. That was the one thing that I thought was strange. I'm like, that's basically infamous to Outback. So I was surprised to see that wasn't on the menu. But other than that, I took myself to Outback, had me a nice little lunch, and then I went to the movies. I wore my all white because I thought we, the Wakandians, were on one accord with wearing white. But I seen the Instagram photos. Some people wore purple. Some people wore different colors. So I don't know. I remember when the initial trailer came out, Wakandian delegates said we were supposed to wear white. I followed orders. I followed the rules. The same way the first one came out, I came out in my African garb. I was ready. So either way, it's cool. So anyways, plus I have to remember I'm in Korea. They don't really be doing all that. But I also didn't see any Black people at this particular theater. They did show up and show out at other theaters, just not at mine. And so I go in there and bruh, from the time the film started to the time the film ended, your girl was in tears. Your girl was in shambles. Like, I was in shambles. I was just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I think because of this film, I'm going to have to buy the physical copy of the first movie and the second one. Like, because to be honest, after Chadwick Boseman passed away, I hadn't been able to watch the first one again, but seeing the second one, it made me realize that, and again, this isn't a spoiler. This is just, obviously we all know that Chadwick Boseman died. And so that is part of the movie, but I think it's very interesting how they talk about grieving and dealing with the death of a loved one and how that kind of affects us all differently. And because some of us, we try to blot it out. Some of us try to work through the grieving process. Some of us sit in the grieving process. Like, we just have different ways of grieving. But the most important thing is that we don't, or at least we shouldn't, erase the memories that are connected to our loved ones, to our ancestors, to the people who've passed on. So in seeing the second one, it made me realize, like, okay, like, I haven't watched the first one because I felt like, oh, it was too painful to relive the memories of Chadwick. But I realized that, like, it's necessary to watch the first one because Black Panther was made for us. It was made for the Black girls and the Black boys and those of like the African diaspora or of various Black cultures to be able to see themselves in this movie and connect to it in some form of fashion. Because while yes, there's been other, you know, Black movies of some sort that we've been able to connect to and relate to, this was the first of its kind. And while yes, we were unfortunately robbed of Chadwick so early in life, I think it's important that his legacy continues on in a way that like we tell his story. I don't want to spoil the movie, but I feel like the way that they did the second one, it was more like we need to continue like telling the story and paying it forward of not only his legacy, but like making sure that we live our lives to the fullest and we don't feel like we've held anything back, and that whatever way we have to grieve our losses in life, we make sure that we understand that not everybody grieves the same way. Some people grieve ugly, some people grieve angrily, some people grieve silently. But the fact of the matter is that grieving is a necessary process. And I think that was like a key takeaway, at least one of the key takeaways that I walked away from in this movie. Second thing, I loved the fact that they put Haiti in this movie. I love, like, I'm gonna try not to get emotional, but the way they put Haiti in this movie. And y'all know when I talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly of living my life like I'm Haitian, I went into detail about, you know, the different aspects, what it was like growing up as a Haitian kid in the 90s and being called all sorts of horrible names. And, you know, even now, like the media likes to portray Haiti in such a horrible way, in such a horrible manner. And then to see, I'm sorry, y'all, to see Haiti in such a beautiful way in this movie. Honestly, I wanted to scream in the movie theater, but you know, Koreans just be so chill about everything sometimes. But I wanted to scream with such pride. Like, I don't think people understand. That's what representation is. When you see yourself, when you see your family, when you see your culture on display in a way that you can be proud of, in a way that you can say, that's me. That's me. That's what I come from. That's the stock. That's the fabric. That's the fiber of my being right there. I don't think people understand that. So when I saw Haiti, oh, it took everything in me not to holler in that in the People's Movie Theater. That was probably the best part of the entire movie, was seeing the way Haiti was represented. So I was like, oh no, I'm gonna get this movie. I'm gonna get this movie in physical, so I can always look back on this and I can share this with my kids. I can like, honestly, if you haven't seen the movie, please go see it. Please go see it. I highly recommend it. But today was the best day for me. Today I was like, I haven't been to the, like, and I want to make it clear, I haven't been to the movies since Avengers Endgame. Like, I had to watch Tony Stark die. And that was emotional as it is. And obviously, like, Robert Downey Jr. is still alive and well. You know what I mean? And so that was just emotional to just see Iron Man pass. But that was just a fictional movie. But to see the way Black Panther 2 was done, especially in honoring Chadwick and in, like, the movie itself and in the way they did Haiti... 10 out of 10. I know maybe for some people, they complain about Marvel movies being long or they felt like it don't take all that. And you're entitled to your opinions, absolutely. But this movie right here, 100% one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. And after this, I can't wait for Ariel. I can't wait to see Haley take the screens and be our Little Mermaid. That's the next movie I look forward to seeing. I can't wait, because I'm telling you, it's moments like this that make me realize. I mean, I've always known it to be true, but it's moments like this that make me realize representation truly matters. And I'm sorry for those who just don't get it, who just don't understand that when you see your culture, when you see your people represented on the screen in a positive light, in a beautiful light, you feel proud. You start sitting up straight. You stand up straight. You lift your head up because you know where you come from. I loved every minute of it. So I recommend seeing Black Panther 2. I recommend it. I bring some tissues because you won't cry unless you're just not an emotional person, because not everybody's emotional. But I know for me, I just was overwhelmed and overtaken by emotions that I absolutely loved it. I had some other things to talk about, but I think I'm just going to wrap it up here. I think this is just probably the best place to end the episode. I'm sorry that I didn't really have an actual topic for today, but I just wanted to get on here and just talk with y'all and just give you guys an update on where I am, what's going on with me. I try not to make my episodes so much like therapy sessions, because I clearly have a therapist and I pay her buku money to listen to my problems. Again, I apologize that I didn't have an actual episode topic, but I hope that you still enjoyed today's episode. And if you did enjoy today's episode, then hit me up on my socials and come chat with me. Let me know what's going on with you. How are you feeling? Let's do a check-in and see how are you doing. I know things on Twitter are pretty crazy, so if you're not trying to really get on Twitter, I am also available on Facebook and Instagram. Again, the handle is Shameless Listo. That's SHAMELESSLISZTO. Come talk to me. Like I said, let's do a mental check-in, or just give me life updates. How are you feeling? What's going on with you? If you've seen Black Panther 2, give me your thoughts. What did you think about the movie? Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you think it was too long? Because again, some people complain about Marvel films being too long. But I would love to hear your thoughts on the new movie. But yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and end the episode here. And so until next time, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya!